Browns training camp kicking off today officially. Started last week.
Felt like you were close to singing there. It felt like you were really close to singing there.
You were at least in rhythm.
It felt like you were really close to singing there, Daryl.
No, sir. We do not sing. We do not dance. We do plenty to embarrass themselves, and we are not doing that.
But if you would like to take that audio of Daryl and put it to song and maybe give him a nice golden tan as well.
Oh, good Lord.
Send it to Ken Carmen's show on X.
As if we need to encourage the haterade brigade.
I'm just trying to find creative Clevelanders.
We have plenty of them.
I want to showcase their talents.
We have a lot of very talented artists in this town. The t-shirt economy is booming. That is for sure. It's Daryl Ryder, Danny Cunningham with you. Browns training camp has been underway, but it really gets underway today. The first full team practice just before 4 o'clock. We'll start hearing from folks in the noon hour. And then the first fan practice, or I should say practice open to the fans in Berea, will be Friday at 2 p.m., the first of eight. The last one's going to be on Monday, August 4th. So over a month between the final open practice, Danny, until the season opener, September 7th, against the Cincinnati Bengals. That's going to be a very, very long time for Browns fans to wait for their team to play
meaningful games. Like, they'll see preseason games. They'll see plenty.
You act like seeing preseason games is a treat.
I mean, watching training camp practice is not a treat either.
Actually, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Watching training camp stinks. It's awful.
You know what's fun about training camp practice?
Nothing. Nothing.
No, there are things fun.
No, there's not.
Yeah, you sound like me.
No, I sound like somebody who played football in college and went through training camps. It's not fun.
Well,
it's the worst part of the calendar.
It's fun to watch. We had John Greco on earlier this week, and yeah, he did mention he did not enjoy training camp all that much. Yeah, I don't think that there's many a player that enjoys it, but there are a lot of things enjoyable to watch, especially if you're a fan, certainly me, being on the sidelines, covering the team. I really enjoy paying attention to the coach-player interaction. Now, we're not supposed to report any specifics regarding those interactions and whatnot, but I do get a kick out of really being able to hear and pay attention to things that are said as the coaching up process gets underway. I will be the quarterback tracker that I will be running is how many times is Jimmy Haslam in the huddle with the four quarterbacks while they're doing the in practice film review, because that's the thing they do now. They've done it the last couple years. It's fantastic technology. They get cameras all over the field. And they are able to put they can literally just run a play, run over to the TV monitor, and break that play down on film.
Very similar to how they have tablets on the sidelines during games,
right,
and they can see things that have happened on the previous series,
right,
or at other points during the game.
But I'm going to be counting how many times Jimmy Haslam is standing with the quarterbacks as the in-practice film review coaching session is taking place, and whether or not Jimmy is going to be in there pointing things out to the quarterbacks, doing his own coaching.
You think he's a good quarterback, Coach Daryl? Is that what you're saying?
Based on what I've seen since they took over the team, no, they're not very good at picking quarterbacks. No, they're not good at coaching them either. Kevin Stefanski might be. I mean, he's made a few guys look serviceable.
I think he's made some bad quarterbacks look good.
Like, serviceable. I'm not going to say good, but he made him serviceable. I mean, he helped Joe Flacco, get dusted
off. Get his career back.
And be competent. Like, that's where I'm at with quarterbacks this year. This was a thing yesterday. I'm like, I just want competent quarterback play. There are so many statistics out there that I have. And look, I want fans to get all excited and pumped up for training camp today. So I'm going to keep those in the holster here and save them for mid-October when we definitely need to be pulling them out again. But there are so many things that happen organically around the NFL when it comes to quarterback play. But here in Cleveland, it's a novel concept. Like Joe Flacco throwing for 300 yards, what was it, four times in five of those starts? Like,
yeah.
That I don't think happened in Browns history ever before, but like that happens around the NFL all the time, right? They got four guys to pick from. I say it's a two-man race. The team, Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, Tommy Rees, they will tell you it's a four-man race. I don't think it's conceivable. I don't think it's fair. You're going to end up with a rookie, a third-round pick, or a fifth-round pick as your starter in week one under, here's the caveat, under circumstances that you control. But one of the challenges for the Browns over the years when it comes to these quarterback competitions, you know this, Danny, is circumstances often dictate their process instead of the process dictating the circumstances. Now, in some cases, the team is to blame for that, but in a lot of cases, it's been situations out of their control. Like, for instance, them playing Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Like them playing Cody Kessler. Like them playing Austin Davis or a Connor Shaw or a Kevin Hogan, right? They
depends how deep into the Rolodex you want to go.
Oh, trust me. I've got the full Rolodex sitting in front of me right now. I opened the Rolodex. I opened the can of worms because it's hard keeping track of all of these guys, right? It's not easy. You know, 40 deep now, looking for 41, and hopefully 41 is there for a while. It was nice of Baker Mayfield to give us a three-year hiatus. Let the carousel rest for a little bit. But I don't know if there is a right answer. I don't know if there is a solution to that problem right now.
I don't think there is at this moment, but I do think that one of the rookies could prove us wrong at a certain point. I just don't know that right now is the time to do that. And to the point about it not being a four-man race, I think you're right about that. I think there are two different two-man races going on. I don't think it would be wise for the Browns to be having Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders in consideration to be the starting quarterback week one. I don't think that's what training camp should be about for them. I don't think you're going to maximize them as quarterbacks, if you're putting them under that type of pressure right away. Now, if we get to week 10, that might be a different conversation. I would not be surprised, Daryl, in the least bit, if both of those guys started games at quarterback this year. I would be surprised if either of those guys started week one. I think that the battle for the starting quarterback is between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. I think there are two different two-man races going right now, one for the starter and then who can be the third quarterback, the guy that's going to be active on game days between Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. That is the thing that's the way that I think you have to look at this. But what I'm curious from your perspective is what exactly are you looking for from the quarterbacks as training camp gets started?
Well, obviously you got to pay attention to the reps because, and I know Kevin Stefanski during mandatory minicamp had said, hey, let's not read too much into who is on the field with certain guys and all that. Kevin, that's what we do. That's number one, okay? And it also, I think, foretells. Like, Shedeur Sanders has not gotten first-team reps yet. There's no way I can sit here and say to fans, as popular as he is amongst fans, right, one of the top-selling rookie jerseys in the league right now.
That's how he's always going to be. He's going to be a popular guy.
There's no way I can sit here and tell fans that I feel like that Shedeur Sanders is a serious contender for the starting job week one. I can't do it. Dylan Gabriel has gotten 11-on-11 first team reps. I feel like that they were managing Joe Flacco. There's nothing to learn from Joe Flacco.
Right. What is a guy at his age and his experience level going to get out of mandatory minicamp? Even I think you can ask the question, what does his role look like at the start of training camp? Does it look similar to what it was during mandatory minicamp? Or is it something to where, okay, no, now he is full go. This is just like he looks like a guy competing for a starting quarterback position in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know what there is for him to prove. For me, they've got to take a look at Kenny Pickett and figure out if they're what they believe. Okay. They believe they can fix this kid. Whatever went wrong in Pittsburgh under Matt Canada, they love the intangibles. They love the physical skill set. Can they fix him? They have to, for me, they have to figure that out. With Dylan Gabriel, again, the physical tools are there. They're happy with that. They like the way he sees, processes, views the game. But I think you got to figure out, can he see between the weeds and all the traffic that happens in front of him? And then with Shador, it's can they whatever they don't like in his game, right? Because there's a lot of things they do like.
Sure.
I know I'm not trying to spin that negative. Like, there are a lot of things they like, but there I believe there are things in his game that they believe will hold him back at the NFL level. They have to figure out in this camp, can they knock that out of his game? Can they get whatever that is, whether it's habits, whether it's technique, whether it's footwork, whatever. Can they get that out of his game? To me, that's what training camp...
What do you think they don't like in his game?
I think that he... I call it happy feet.
Okay.
Because you look at what he went... And you understand why he has the happy feet. Because of what he went through at Colorado.
Very bad offensive line.
Awful. He had three guys in his face by the time the snap got into his hands, right? And I think that he's programmed in some of these drills where it's you're either in the gun or you're under center and it's a 3 or 5 or 7 step drop. Read 1, 2, 3, let it rip, right? And this is just my observation. There are instances when they're going through those drills where there is no physical pressure, where it feels like sometimes he's simulating the pressure in his head. Like, okay, I'm going to have pressure coming from my left. Now I'm going to step up in the pocket. Okay, now there's a guy coming to my right. And so where it's like he doesn't need to be doing that right now. It's about getting the ball in your hands. There's read number one. There's read number two. There's read number three. Get the ball out. Pick a read, let it rip, and go, right? And so I, this is just my opinion, my take on the situation, having gone back and looked at some of the video that I shot, looked at some of his Colorado tape and things like that. So I don't think that this camp really is much about